third of my kids today. That I can't believe I didn't know this before. It must be famous. So it could be all of you heard this year when you were learning Maseches Brachos. Your Rebbeim might have told it to you. Or maybe it'll be new for you. But at least we'll say it over. In the Gemara, the end of Brachos, on Samach Aleph and Medbeis, when the Gemara is telling the story of Rabbi Akiva, Pam Achas Gazra Machos HaRasha Shalo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah, that when the Roman government made a decree that the Jews shouldn't learn Torah, so Pappas ben Yehuda came and found Rabbi Akiva continuing to teach Torah to the masses. And he said, "You're endangering your life. What are you doing?" We know at the end of the story, after their conversation later on, so they both ended up going to jail and they were put in the same cell. Amalo Pappas, Pappas then turned to Rabbi Akiva and he said, Asher Rabbi Akiva shenit pasta al divrei Torah, oilo lepapa shenitfas advarim betelim. Praiseworthy, lucky are you that you were caught for Talmud Torah, for Lima Torah, and woe to me that I was caught and put in jail for advarim betelim. So the Gra, anybody tell you the Gra on this? The Gra points out, I can't believe I never thought of this, it's so pashut. Who is Pappas? Pappas is the famous Pappas from Maseches Tainis, where it talks about Lulainus and Pappas. Lulainus and Pappas were from Lud, and there was a Roman leader then that his daughter was murdered, and he blamed it on the Jews. He said, a Jew killed her, and unless you give over the Jew that killed her, I'm going to kill all the Jewish people in the city. And it wasn't a Jew that killed her, so there was nobody to give himself over. And Lulainus and Pappas, two brothers, agree that we're going to say that we did it in order to save the Jews of this city. And they gave up their life in order to save the Jews. And the Gemara says that Haruge Lud Ein Kol Beria Omei B'Mechitzasam, something like that. Then in Shemayim, there's nobody that could stand in the area that's set aside for them in Shemayim. They're on such a high level for the act that they did. That's the Pappas that was caught in jail. That said that I'm the one that killed the daughter that was with Rabbi Akiva. And he said to Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha shenitfast al divrei Torah, lucky are you that you were caught on Torah, and I was caught on Dvarim Betelim. The Gra says, Chas v'sham, Pappas, he was a tremendous Torah giant, to say that he was caught on Dvarim Betelim. We know why he was caught for. The Gemara in Taina says what Pappas was caught for. Pappas was caught for saving the Jews of the city and saying that he's the one that murdered the daughter. He's calling that Dvarim Betelim. Why, says the Gra? Le'umas, next to Talmud Torah, what he did was considered Dvarim Betelim. It's crazy. There's a Gemara that tells over the story of somebody who would travel. He lived 3 months away from the closest yeshiva. So he used to leave after Sukkot, travel for 3 months, get to a yeshiva, learn there for a day, and then travel back for 3 months to be home in time for Pesach. And that was his schedule. He slept for 3 months there and 3 months back. And the Gemara praises that which he did. They don't think that he was crazy for doing that. But what was he thinking? For one day, all that schlepping there and schlepping back. So I think we spoke about this earlier in the year. We spoke about a Gra, how the Gra says that to be mevatel one mitzvah's ase, to be mevatel a mitzvah's ase is worse than to do a lav. To not do a positive commandment is worse than to do a sin, than to do an avera. And there's a list of reasons why. And one of the reasons why is because in the next world, for sin, so you get punished, and punishment cleans up, makes you clean again, makes your clothing white so that you can enter Gan Eden. But there's a limit, there's a time limit, there's an amount of punishment that a person can get, and then they're clean, and then their sins are wiped away, and the sin goes away. But when it comes to reward for mitzvos are forever and ever and ever. They're eternal. They're not a reimbursement for the mitzvah that you did. It's another door and another connection to eternity. You're connected now to Hashem in that way through that mitzvah, now forever and ever and ever. It's not a exactly back, reimbursement for the mitzvah that you did. And therefore, when a person doesn't do a mitzvah, they forever will not have that mitzvah. They'll forever not have that schar that they kept the door closed to. They could have just opened that one more door for eternity. And that's one of the explanations for why it's worse to be mevatel a mitzvah's aseh than to do an avera. Rav Eli Apian said, in the name of the Alta Mikelm, he said that it would have been worth it for all of the world to be created and last for a full 6,000 years in order for one Jew to exist that would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo once in his lifetime. It would be worth all creation 6,000 years for one Jew to say Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo. And then he continued and he said, and 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemos doesn't come close to the schar for one amen. For one amen that somebody answers. And he continued and he said, and 1,000 amens doesn't come close to the schar that one gets for one amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah. And then he continued and he said, and 1,000 amen Yehei Shmei Rabbahs doesn't come anywhere close to the schar for one word of Limud HaTorah. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. For one word of Limud HaTorah. So we can understand now why somebody would travel 3 whole months to be in yeshiva for one day of how many words of Torah you get to learn that day and then schlep 3 months back. Because the reward for that he would then have eternally, 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 forever. The Gra says in Brachos, we have a pasuk in the Torah that teaches us to make a bracha achrona, to bench, v'achata v'sabata uveirachta. And we learn out that you make a bracha rishona from a kal v'chomer. That if you make a bracha when you finish eating, kal v'chomer, you make a bracha before you eat. And the Gra points out that there's an opposite svara when it comes to Lima Torah. That we have a source in the Torah for making Birchas HaTorah before learning. But then we have a Kavachomer to teach us to make a bracha after. That if you make a bracha before learning Kavachomer, you should make a bracha afterwards. So how come the Kavachomer works in the opposite direction? When it comes to eating, if you make a bracha afterwards, Kavachomer you make before. But by learning, if you make a bracha before, Kavachomer you make afterwards. And the Gra says, because when it comes to Gashmius and in Yanei Olam Hazeh, so after you've eaten, it's over. The pleasure's gone. The whole enjoyment is when the food is in front of you, you're excited to eat it, and then you eat it, you chew it, you swallow. That's the enjoyment, and then it's over. So if you're making a bracha afterwards, when the enjoyment part is finished, kal v'chomer, you should make a bracha beforehand, when the hana'ah is still right in front of you, and the most exciting part is now. But with Limud HaTorah, before you learn, forget about it. To get to the base midrash, is it possible? It's so hard. To open up the Gemara, to find your Gemara, to look around the base midrash for your Gemara, and then to get yourself to stay focused and talk about the Gemara in front of you, it's so very, very, very hard. But afterwards, is there anybody that would give up any of the learning they did this year? Whatever learning that we did, and everybody did different amounts and exerted themselves this amount, but any amount that you did, even one word of the learning, would you give it up afterwards? Would you sell it? So beforehand, it's so hard, it's painful. So if you can make a bracha beforehand, kal v'chomer, when the pleasure is, when you can look back that you've done it and you have it behind you, kal v'chomer, you make a bracha on that. One thing that we have to step back and recognize is how wealthy, eternally wealthy we are. Because what we've done this year, whatever amount it is, even one word, was already worth not only schlepping 3 months there, schlepping 3 months back. It's something that you now have eternally and nobody could ever take away from you. I was saying to somebody tonight that in 101 years from now, you're going to be dead. And you're not going to have this, you're not going to have all those things. But the learning that you've done, the brachos that you've made, the davening, that you have forever. There'll never be a time that you don't have that anymore. And any one word was worth so much. So we have to step back at the end of a year and be so thankful just for how we're all millionaires. If somebody would call you up and say, you have the winning number, we'd be so excited. And we only get to have that for how many years? So we had the lucky number many, many times over. If we were excited about the opportunity when the year was in front of us, we should be so thankful at any amount of Torah learning that we've done afterwards. And and rejoice over that. Now the end of the year is a time to be very happy. When you make a siyum, you're not sad that it's over. You want to continue, but you're also excited and happy of the schus of what you just got to accomplish. And one more thing I just wanted to add on to what Rabbi Lebarsky was saying, just to second that idea, and that is that a lot of times, I'm sure a lot of the guys sometimes think to themselves, the rabbis just don't get us. All I hear is Shana Bat, come to the base. They don't have anything new to say. They just say the same thing over. They even get what we're going through. They even get what our challenges are. And the answer is no, not at all. We have no clue what you're going through. We have no idea how hard it is for you. We have no clue what challenge it is to do anything that you did this year. And there is no way to know the value of what any effort anybody put in and what are the things that they personally worked on. Is like what Ari Rosenzweig also was saying last night, and based on Musa, that the person grows in so many ways and they work on so many things. You can't know that about another person. Nobody here had an identical year, an identical experience, an identical growth. There's no way that anybody could measure or know what it is that you put in. But whatever you worked on or whatever you grew in is more valuable than almost anything else that we have in life. So we should feel lucky, we should feel happy, we should be proud, and we should rejoice.